Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is our David Murphy, publisher of the National Black Unity News. I want to welcome you all to our SoundUcast, podcast, broadcast. We're coming to you streaming live on Facebook, also on Blog Talk Radio. And we also love the formats. And we want to welcome all of those into our panel, which is a small group of us right here, Mr. Michael Thomas, Walter Dempsey Murphy, as well as Brother Satavi Jahi, and others will be joining us shortly. But in any case, you know, today is a special day because we are here. And, you know, and there's still breath in the body, so there's still hope. And a lot of things are going on in this country, but we're going to talk about a few things a little bit later on. But before we get started, we want to get started on the good foot, as old folks used to say. With some good information, some good news. I'm going to turn it over to our co-host, Mr. Satavi Jahi. You got it, sir.
All right. Thank you, David. And you know, today is the anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King. And it seems like our community has been in turmoil ever since. Today's reading, April the 4th. Don't be a know-it-all. No one knows less than the person who knows it all. Hugh Glasser, former president of Morehouse College. Do you belong to that body of individuals who seems to believe they already know enough? If success is your goal, you must become a storehouse for new information. You must avoid the pitfalls of becoming someone who's comfortable with his level of knowledge in the field of his choosing. In other words, don't be a know-it-all. There's an eye-opening story about three men who were sentenced to the guillotine, a priest, a doctor, and a college professor. Each was allowed to make one last statement prior to his execution. The priest was the first to approach the bench. His final words were, "Keep the faith." The blade dropped on the priest, came within 2 inches of his neck, and mysteriously stopped. Everybody thought it was a miracle from above, and the priest was set free. The doctor was next. He held his head high and uttered, "Physician, heal thyself." Once again, the guillotine mysteriously stopped inches from its destination, thinking this was a message from above that the doctor was innocent. He, too, was liberated. Finally, the professor approached the chopping block, and with a poor sense of timing, he said, "If you tighten those two bolts on the left, the guillotine will work as intended." They tightened the two bolts, and guillotine did work, and his head went off. You see, some people think they have all the answers. Education is a lifelong process and should end only when you do. Every day is commencement day because education is cumulative. Today, I will take in new information as the first step to my growth and development. If the professor kept his mouth shut, he would have lived another day. But he, you know, being a know-it-all, he had to tell them how to make the correction on his own execution. And they did. His head went off. So, the lesson in
you
that
are muted. You can mute or unmute yourself by pressing *6.
Sorry about that, brother. Unmute yourself again, brother. Sorry.
You are unmuted.
The lesson of that is know when to keep your mouth shut. In warfare, there's strategic times to talk and strategic times to keep your mouth shut. And if he had just kept his mouth shut, he would have been able to, like the two people before him, not been executed on that day. But he had to tell them he just couldn't hold it in. He had to let them know that he knew why the guillotine wasn't working, even if it meant his own execution. And so he told them, they made the correction, and, hey, the rest is history. So know where to keep your mouth shut, especially in warfare. It's time to talk, and it's a time to be silent. So back to you, David.
Oh, wow. That's right on my toes. You know, I learned to keep my mouth shut, but then in such a time as this, you know, this is warfare. This is not a drill. And people are literally dying. There are people who are literally slowly dying. People are already set up for the guillotine, as my brother just mentioned, talking about our young people, the school systems. It's outrageous, you know, what we allow to take place today, especially as old schoolers. You know, we've seen a different day. We've seen a different time where discipline and mannerism rule of the day. And today, with all the modern technology, the microwaves, the internet, the instant this, the fast food, pace fast, pace everything, and yet nobody really has time to really sit down and talk to one another, share information, even break bread together. We used to sit down and eat dinner together one time. A lot of those old values have been displaced, like I say, with this fast-paced world. And unfortunately, there's a price to pay for that. Because family members are going through all sorts of things. Our children are committing suicide. And in a state of depression now, you know, I can understand if a child was being bullied on a consistent basis, but it was almost like we didn't have time to be depressed when I was young. You know, you were ripping and running most of the day, you know, but you had your issues, of course. But, you know, we know what's going on all around the world and some of the things that they tell us. It seems like the world is focused on a couple of things. Like one of them is the war in Ukraine. And that's got a whole lot of media attention. Things was happening in Africa and places like that. You very seldom, mainstream press, very seldom touch any country melanated people. They don't get that type of flavor. But when it's against something who looks like them, it's a major upset that's taking place in the world. But that's not to be surprised. But then again, we do get our media. You know, this thing they call the slapperin around the world, Will Smith and Chris Rock. I am so sick of seeing footage of that thing. I mean, that got more coverage than the war. Why do you think that is so? Why do you think that got so much press? Because I'm going to tell you from my perspective. Because it was two brothers going at each other. And that feeds right into their narratives. Some of their narratives are is not too good about the way they see and think about us. But you got two successful young men up on the stage, on a global stage like that, and then, you know, one goes off. But if revenge is the shoes on the other foot, so to speak, wouldn't have been so much down in the brother or getting rid of the brother, taking his Oscar. No, he would have needed some little help. Maybe he has a mental problem. Maybe we need to look into mental health. That would have been a big thing about mental health. But in any case, you know, we know the drill because I put in the title, this is not a drill. This is warfare and calling all soldiers. And the reason why I put it that way, because, you know, like I said, I don't really plan a lot of things, but what comes on my mind and kind of sticks there is that, you know, I bring that up as a subject matter sometimes. And I had two other co-hosts on there, and they feel free to bring up what's on their mind and as well as our panelists. But tonight, I just want to share some things with you so that you can stay alert, stay aware of what mainstream society is doing and has been doing. And I always tell you, they're going to do them. So we can complain, we can march in the streets, we can do podcasts like we're doing now, but that's not going to stop their narratives and stop their agenda. And you ever ask, what is their agenda? Why do they treat us in such a manner? Why have they always, not just them, but a lot of other folks as well? But I do know one thing about black people, melanated people. This thing in our DNA, this melanated thing that we talk about sometimes, is such a powerful thing, such a dominant thing when it comes to DNA, that if it's not kept in check, melanated people would end up populating the world, which is, you know, but again, that's what we done in the first place. You know, we had albino, we had all types of people that came from out of us. But at the same time, this thing called fear put some people to the point of they consider themselves protecting themselves. In all reality, from my perspective, they're actually hurting themselves. But anytime you deny any man, any child, to produce their full potential that can help society, that can contribute to society, that is an atrocity. Because that can help them, help everybody, all mankind. And so, and I do believe God created all men equal, but man don't be the same thing because man work on a different laws, different law sets. But in any case, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to welcome you to this new Monday evening. And I feel great. I've been up all night, but I'm still here, still standing. And feel great, too, at the same time. But, you know, while this world is paying attention to some of these other things, you know, I was talking to Dr. Pender earlier today, and he mentioned some things that why he thinks that the world treats us this way. And he was talking about this melanation. And he says it not only is a war against humanity, but it's a war against God himself. And Dr. Pender has some interesting takes on a lot of things, but, you know, it made me think that, you know, regardless of what man thinks, you know, it boils down is how do you think? Who do you think you are? What do you think you're capable of? I can't speak for nobody else. I can speak for David Murphy. Now, his mind is a tender thing. You know, it absorbs so much. No computer can come nowhere near the capabilities of our thinking pattern, our receptions. And because everything we see, touch, and feel is recorded, whether we believe it or not. I used to tell people, if you drove down 95 and all of them trees you may see sitting on the side of the road, these flashing by you, your mind is recording every bit of that. And that's amazing. You know, no computer could never come to that capability. But because, you know, so many things come into our mind, it has a thing within our subconscious mind. It has a way of swaying us, our way of reasoning. And we have through media and many other sources, through education, and a lot of things has been taught that in this society, here we are, most of us here in the United States, in this society that we come from this particular point, and they suggest in this country it's from slavery. They don't take us no further in this country, but just to slavery. And then after all the atrocities to us, and then they say, you know, all things being equal, you're supposed to make your own way, even though you was held back and was sent out to the world with nothing, pretty much. But somehow, some way, we survive. We are survived. You know, and we are powerful people, and I pick on people and racism and all of this kind of stuff because that's one of my major formats. That's why I do the National Black Unity News, not to put down other people, but to uplift us. In order for us to uplift us, we had to start dealing with us. So they can always say they're going to continue to do what they do. They always have the will to, always have done, and always will do. But it's up to us to accept things. Is up to us to change things. And we can change things. Because, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are on here, I see pretty much everybody on here is involved with the National Black Unity newspaper. And not only are they involved, y'all are involved with the newspaper, but you're involved with so many other projects and organizations. And you have made a difference. And whether you believe it or not, you make a difference one way or the other. It can be negative or positive. But you do make a difference. Since you do make a difference, you know, why not use that difference to better yourself, to better your families and our families. And I want to share something with you tonight about this great thing we call the National Black Unity League, because we are part of this great machine called media. It's one of the most powerful forces on this earth, and because it has the potential to sway people's minds. It can even start rumors of war. It can create wars. It can make a person successful one day and bring a person down the next day. It can make you popular one day, ask Will Smith, and then the next day you're just about the scum of the earth, or some people with media would do to you. And we have seen this time and time again. But media says this, or people say this or that about other people. That don't make it so. There's only one truth. And the truth is, from my perspective, is that we, those of us who are involved with the National Black Unity News, are making a difference. This is a powerful, powerful force that we're dealing with, ladies and gentlemen. We're dealing with a force that dissuades people's minds, but in a positive way. We do our best not to put down any group or race of people, but we do talk about certain subject matters. But most part of what we do is enhance people's quality of life, to equal the playing field, to let our people know that we can do things for us and by us without any outside influences. And that's exactly what the National Black Unity News does. And we have the publication just went to the printer today, and tomorrow morning the online version will be available. And hopefully the hard copy will be back before Friday. But in any case, in this issue, variety of people talking about a variety of subjects. And I encourage those who are listening to us on Facebook Live and Blog Talk Radio. Yes, you can look at the paper online, but it's nothing like having this copy. See, right now we are, and I'm not boasting of it, but we are creating history. Because pretty much, far as I'm concerned, and pretty much based on my research, we are one of the few, maybe as many as only handfuls out there that truly is independent, self-sufficient, not relying on any outside resources that can dictate to us what we can and cannot do. And so we encourage you to get real information from real people who are truly concerned about you. Get us subscribe to the publication. It does take a village. You know, even freedom comes with a price. And get a subscription. It's not that much, $18.50 a year. And for those of you out there who are concerned about us, those of you out there who have information that can help enhance our quality of life, those of you who have businesses and services or organizations that's geared toward the upliftment of our people, we need to sit down and talk to one another. But like I say, this is not a drill. It is serious time. While the world is fighting each other, got their focus on other things, this is the time, ladies and gentlemen, for us to do our thing, because most of the time when we try to do things, it gets broken apart internally, and most of the time externally by outside forces that don't want you to get off the ground. However, but when a person makes up their mind and believes in what they're doing, you won't let those obstacles get in your way. And that's what we did with the National Black Unity News. We didn't let obstacles get in our way. Because it's a greater mission, what we are achieving, not trying to achieve, but we are achieving. We've been around about 5 years now, going on six. And we stood a lot of tests, you know, a lot of trials, a lot of tribulations, but we're still standing, and we're standing strong. But we got some strong brothers and sisters in this publication. We got people as young as 8 years old writing in this publication, as well as people in their 80s. And so from 8 to 80, that I'm saying is, you know, and that's the kind of information we're bringing from all generations and all different points of view. And so I encourage you to get the National Black Unity News subscribed. You can go to TNBUN.com. Again, TNBUN.com. On the first page, you can subscribe there. And for those of you who want to actually want to know a little bit more about the paper or even try to get involved with the publication, there are some criteria that we ask of you. But give me a call at 443-455-2373. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to just have an open discussion. It's a small group of us on here this evening. And I told you before that, you know, we can make it. We are making a difference. Each individual on here has a powerful network, has a powerful history, and most likely has some solution to what's going on today. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about our educational system. I'm very concerned about that now because it's like, you know, some say it's like a pipeline straight from elementary school to prison. And if you ever looked at little children when they're 1, 2, 3 years old, they are, you know, how you know, interested they are in about the world, about their lives and stuff. And then as soon as they go out into society, they get indoctrinated. They're told what to do, what not to do, what is somebody else's truth. And I think it's extremely important, those of you who are parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents, that you start grabbing your children, your children's children, your community children. Teach them some of the things that you have learned over the years. See, most of us have some experiences with life. You know, especially people in my age group, from 50 to 70 to 80 years old, because we remember yesterday. We remember when the time was there with discipline, and there was a community that shared and cared, and everybody, it was a village. The hardest time was, but it was still a village. And as far as I can see, with all of these decades I've been living, does not seem like it whatever they are doing, it has worked tremendously, because our society has come so far from where I came up, and it's amazing in such a few short years that society can change that much. And if we, those of us who have been around the block once or twice, if we don't reach out to our young people, to our children, our children's children, I don't know what would happen to us as a people, because a lot of that wisdom and knowledge that we have as friends, when we die, it's gone forever. That's why I encourage you, those who are on Facebook Live and on Blog Talk Ready, those of you who are senior citizens, share that information. Pull some of these young folks up. If they're anything like I was, I'd love listening to the stories that my grandparents and older people, elders used to tell me. And I used to cherish that because it was a fascinating story, just like reading a book sometimes. But in any case, if we don't do it, if not us, then who? If not now, then when? Tomorrow's not promised to none of us. And if we don't take this time while we still alive, there's blood dribbling in our body. If our generation died, it would be such a tremendous loss if we did not share this. And that's why I'm so appreciative of the people in the National Black Unity News. See, this is one form of telling our stories, our narratives. See what takes place now today. See, our forefathers didn't have these capabilities. If they didn't write it in a book or something like that, their stories did not get told. And if the story was told about it, was not the truth, based on the larger society. And so that's why I encourage you now, you know, over this weekend, I'm just going to share you the wider range of information that's out there if we choose to get involved. Now, on our Friday night, we had one of our new editors. He was one of the original founders of the Million Women March 25 years ago. And she had joined our family with the National Black Unity News. And I was on their podcast the other night. And I met a lot of people around the country that's involved with the organization. And they're coming out strong. I mean, they connected all over the world, and thank God they connected with us as well. They sought us out. That's why I said, if you have information or service that you want to reach the masses of people, the National Black Unity News is the way to go. And then also, on Saturday, another one of our editors, Kathleen Murphy, invited me on to one of their networks. She's a Delta. And they had this book fair, not a book fair, but they were promoting books from some of their sisterhoods. And I was on that, man. It was over 150-something women from all over the country was on there, and I met quite a few authors because they had some breakaway rooms, which I visited a few of them. I even got involved with some of the conversations. But they're telling their narratives now. We're telling our stories now. And yesterday, I had the opportunity with another one of our editors, Mr. Michael Haney. He invited me to host his podcast yesterday where I interviewed him. And so we sharing our stories. And now that we're doing this, like, especially when it's online, that means when it go viral, if the world don't come to it, anything, it will stay viral. It will stay out there in the universe. And so that's why it's so important. If you are not writing books, but most of us, you are already in the National Black Unity News, so your stuff is already being archived, but this is just surface stuff. But you need to somehow get in front of your own camera, tell your story. I mean, because you never know, your children and your children's children, your great-great-grandchildren may watch you one day or hear you speak, you know, whatever was on your mind. And so, you know, right now, there's a gentleman, I could never think of his name when I want to bring it up. There's one of them senior moments. But he's a minister, and he died in a plane crash several years ago. But, but he was one of those type ministers that will, he's a great teacher, as far as I'm concerned. So he really breaks things down. And he's been gone 7 years, but you know, I know a lot of people who follow this brother, and he's still teaching. He's no longer with us, but the point I'm trying to make is he is still putting out information because he did CDs, DVDs, and everything else. You know, he got hundreds of books, and so he's still telling his story. And see, this is the powerful thing. See, I'm still learning from it. His brother's dead almost 15 years. And so that's the same thing what I'm trying to encourage you to do, is to go out there, share your story. By any means that you can get in front of this thing, what we got, Blog Talk Radio, you can get involved with Zoom and record your own stories. But in any case, do so by any means necessary, because we need to hear our voice. We need to hear our stories. Well, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, I'm going to call on a few people. I like to ask people what's going on, what you're doing, and certain subject matters. But there's a brother on here, one of our co-hosts, Mr. Michael Thomas. Can you unmute yourself, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, how you doing this evening, sir?
Good, good. And yourselves?
Oh, man, I'm still here, still moving forward. But look, Michael.
Yes, sir.
I know you have a program called 1,000 Great Minds, and I know you're seeking some brothers and sisters out there till you get this thousand. That's the seed that you plant to get this 1,000 Great Minds. But let me ask you something. I know it's written that they say two or three are gathered, especially in God's name. You know, these can be powerful and wonderful things. But with 1,000 Great Minds, What would be some of your objectives if you had that many minds working together?
The mission of 1,000 Great Minds is to eradicate poverty and homelessness. And because it is such a widespread epidemic, we believe that it is also an economic opportunity for these 1,000 Great Minds who take it upon themselves to provide housing for the homeless and anyone who's in debt with housing. It's a no-debt housing program that we offer when we unify the 1,000 Great Minds. And also to capitalize black businesses so that they may put people to work, and also to make people busy to give their attention to something that's positive rather than negative. So just the economic foundation, you know, is a critical thing to getting things done, because it provides us the capital to be more proactive in creating avoiding negative behavior the education system. It will provide capital to install an education system among us that educates us, gives us the education that we need, that we are not getting from those who don't have our interest at heart. It provides the economic base, real estate base, economic base to capitalize black business, put people to work, and also an emphasis on the family, the things that a family needs that we don't have, all the social spectrum, political, economic, business, all of these things are what 1,000 Great Minds bring to the table. And I think it's necessary to have a capital money to put things in place, because without the money, living in a capitalistic society, it is devastating not to be able to move on things with the backing of capital. And I recall when Katrina hit Louisiana, and President Bush was asked, well, what you think, you know, the people should do, you know, to help them. He said, send cash. And so that is a very a strong statement there about sending cash. Cash is needed, in my opinion, and we struggle with getting education out like we need to get it out. And I think it's because of capital. And because of the lack of capital, we're inhibited very much. And as you mentioned many times, David, about being 1%, less than 1% in the media, also 1%, less than 1% in economics. And so we can see just in the National Black Unity News itself, you know, how important it is to stay tuned, to stay on the job and not leave the job. So I want to commend National Black Unity News for staying on the media job, because we can't let it go. Otherwise, we'll have no voice at all.
That's right. All right, brother, I appreciate you for that, you know, and I'll come back to you. Brother Bill Gooden, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you today, sir?
I'm good. First and foremost, let me just say good evening to everybody.
Hey, Brother Bill. Now, Bill Gooden is the co-founder of the National Black Unity News. He also the founding member of Black Men Unifying Black Men. And Bill is an activist. You know, he's been out there for, I ain't gonna say how many years, but many decades, out there on the front line, standing up for us as a people. And Bill, I was just watching the news today, and they finally opened up City Hall. So they
I was down there.
Yeah, and so you know, share a little light on what was going on with that situation.
Well, basically, you know, City Hall has been closed for 2 years, and of course, it was according to them, it was due to COVID. And today, they are officially opened, where the public was allowed to go in for a city council hearing, which we did. You know, but like I said, they can use COVID for whatever they want to use COVID for. In my opinion, as I said to you before, I think they're changing the system on us in terms of how we're going to have to conduct business in the future when you're talking about government agencies, city agencies, Social Security, MVA, they're going to start wanting you to make appointments. Either they're trying to push you to conduct your business over social media or either through the phone, right? So, you know, we went to City Hall today basically saying that, you know, it's ridiculous, because when you say that you don't have a way to socially distance people at City Hall, you know, and you're talking about millions of dollars that have come through there. And at the same time, you have football games and concerts where you got thousands of people screaming over each other's heads with no mask. But then you use COVID as an excuse, saying that, you know, it's hard to socially distance people. Then that's crazy, you know, because even on a good day, when you go to City Hall and you go to a city council hearing, if you have 40 or 50 people there, you done good. So it's not like every day you're going to have hundreds of people crowded up in City Hall trying to go to a council hearing, right? So, you know, I always say, you know, I mean, just like the brother talking about 1,000 Great compromising. You're talking about the National Black Unity newspaper, and we're talking about whatever we're talking about. You know, we have to realize that our power is in numbers, right? If we had 2,000 people that we knew that every 3 months was coming to get the National Black Unity News, or 2,000 people that was making contributions to it, then it strengthened it, right? You know, just like the brother said, you know, so I mean, no matter what our angle is, because everything is important. We don't just need money, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, we have to have money, but we have to have unity, and we have to have sense to go with the money. If we have money, because we ain't got no sense with the money, then we still won't have no money. You know, so I mean, you know, I think that we have to fight on all levels, right? So I'm proud to be an activist because I think that, you know, just like the newspaper, just like any other vehicle, you know, we have to have a lot of voices, right? So we have media, but we don't have people to stand up for the causes, then it would dilute our media, right? Because it's the activists that help to strengthen our media, you know what I'm saying? Because that way we can talk about what our people is doing. We can promote what they're doing. And when we promote each other, then we're helping the cause. I mean, the sad thing is this, and I'm going to close with this, Dave, and thank you for this opportunity. If we didn't have people like Marcus Garvey, Elijah Muhammad, Malcolm X, Dr. King, Harriet Tubman, you know, on and on and on and on, you know, if we didn't have them activists, then we have to ask ourselves, what would really be our situation today? You know what I'm saying? So no matter how bad it is today, it's somebody that stood up and fought to bring us to this point. So if we stop fighting, then how do we get to that next point? Now, have we lost some stuff? Absolutely, man. We in a world today like never before in terms of things that's happening, right? But that's why it's even more urgent today that we see the need for our unity than ever before, because our unity is what's going to really release us and set us free, right? You know, so, you know, you hear people all the time say, we all we need, we all we want. In one sense, that is the truth, right? Because there's nobody coming to save us but us. And we have to recognize that. Now, there's a lot of stuff in our way because people that control stuff, man, got so much, it's so much clouded when you look at television, music. When you look at who's controlling jobs, when you look at who's controlling everything, when you look at poverty, and a lot of us don't even understand our situations because, you know, when we're talking about my poverty and crime and how bad it is, yes, it's bad, but it's somebody making money from somebody else suffering. So the people that's really making decisions and could turn this stuff around and help us turn it around, do they really want to turn it around if they're making money from us suffering and from us going to jail and from us killing one another? We have to recognize that, and we have to turn that around. So that's why activism is important. That's why it was important that we be at City Hall and that we advocated constantly that City Hall be open. And I'm closing with this. City Hall didn't open because they decided to. City Hall opened because the people constantly put pressure on them, kept it in the news, and force City Hall to open. Without the voices of the people, I'm here to say City Hall probably would still be closed today.
You know something, Bill, you hit on quite a few points, and you're correct about a lot of things. You know, it does take unity, but it does take people to take a stand, despite of what's going on. Like you said, if we don't take a stand, then everything, we can fall for everything, as they say. And brother, Thomas, yeah, you're right. We do have to have economic empowerment because it does take that type of seed money to get a lot of our programs off the ground, especially like building our own schools and things like that and home communities. But, you know, if the larger society, I put it that way, has many tricks and tools and weapons in their arsenal that they use on us, like Bill said, on so many different fronts. I mean, from education, economics, political, they've been working at this thing for years. But in any case, like I said, they're going to do what they do. But it's up to us, like Bill said, to make our own changes. And speaking of change, Dr. Pender, can you unmute yourself?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, sir. You know, you and I had a conversation this morning about melanation. Can you speak a little bit, if you can, to share a little bit about that?
The war that in place for years. I'm getting ready to write the, possibly something about the war on melanin. It's called M-E-L-A-T-O-N-I-N. There is a holocaust on melanin. It's because ever since we've been here, it's been a holocaust on this thing. And what has happened, actually, it's only the color of our skin that God has given us. Now, be proud of what you are because God made you in his image. But the problem is, people who hate you because of the color of your skin, because of how the color of your, about your hair texture and all of these things, actually, we're put here to save these people from themselves. As I said before, Curtis Harris said, maybe we're put here to save them from his own self. But that's a religion of hate that we're talking about, this thing that walk on the mountain. Just because you were born, never regret the day you were born. You were born for a reason. You have a purpose. And most of the people have found that purpose on the National Black Unity News. And with that purpose, there's no hate in it. We don't, you know, we can't, in other words, if a person just like me, so what? Doesn't matter. My mission is to appreciate everyone. That's the bottom line. And once we get that going within the hood and every other place, then the melanin war will still be going on, but it just goes over your head.
Yes, sir. And there's Brother Cliff is on here tonight, too. Brother Cliff, how you doing, sir? Can you unmute yourself?
Yes, sir. Hello. I'm just glad that your timing was good enough so that when you called my name, I didn't have a face full of food at the time.
You mean tell me you could eat?
Yeah.
You got food?
Yeah, and it's usually at the wrong time, too.
Okay, good. No, you're a blessed man. That's all I'm saying. No, but in any case, you know, Brother Cliff, you're a knowledgeable brother about a lot of things. And I like to get your opinion on some things. Now, I know you well-rounded brother, but from your point of view, now I know about a little bit about the war going on in Ukraine, and there's a whole lot of underlying reasons why this and why that, you know, purposes or schemes, whatever. But I'm going to ask you, I've been meaning to call you on this, you know, because I like to get different people points of views on certain things. Now, this thing with Will Smith and Chris Rock, and that she was hiding under a rock, you had to hear about it. But like I said, I'm kind of used to what media does, but this thing, man, was overkill, man. You couldn't go nowhere. This overtook the war and everything as far as media was concerned. And then I go on to listen to all these different channels, and guess what they usually do? They usually get another black person to speak more about it so they can to kind of say like they stand out the picture, but they the one pushing the media. But as far as propaganda and media, from your perspective, when it comes to us melanated people, what's your take on this thing called propaganda and how certain forces use these things? Tell me some of the points that some of our listeners will understand how propaganda works and some of its purposes for propaganda.
Well, let's see. I'll turn that over a little bit in my head as I'm talking. But among the we've seen a whole number of I guess you might say tropes that have been played out with regard to that whole issue, disrespecting the black woman, toxic masculinity, toxic relationships, and I guess the one thing that kind of jumps out at me with regard to all this is the fact that somehow or another, we are supposed to expect people who are, they're both, as far as I know, younger than at least most of us on this call. And because they are younger than most of us on this call, that almost certainly means that there is less that they have studied. There are certain things that they have experienced that we have not, but there are a number of things that they have not experienced as well. They're still relatively young. Will Smith is, what, 54 or something like that? So I'm 10 years older than him. And at our age, we have our issues too. We sometimes get into toxic relationships with each other. We sometimes feel as though our pride has been damaged and we act out. I mean, this just kind of this happens, especially when you're dealing with a society like this one, the world society, and in particular, the Black community in the United States, because when the rest of America gets a cold, we get pneumonia. That's an old cliche. The last 2 years, of course, it's been COVID, and there's been a lot of pressure that's been put on people because of that. And a lot of people have gone through a lot of trauma, mental trauma, physical trauma, family trauma. People have lost family members. They've lost friends. They've themselves become sick. They've themselves lost work, lost jobs. And so there's a lot of pressure on a lot of these people. And then you shine the spotlight on them. And at just the right point in time, you hit a button. And at that particular time, Chris Rock probably didn't mean to hit this button, but he said something that hit one of Will Smith's buttons. And it's a button that had probably been pushed any number of times. Some people say that Jada pushed his buttons a few times at the Red Table Talk revelations about their relationship. But still, the fact is, Will Smith was sitting there in that particular situation and something lit him. Something lit him up and he just acted out. And there are people who are 10 years older than him, people who are wiser, you would say, in what's going on in the world and the ways of propaganda than he is. And I've seen some of those people act out in a similar kind of a way. So there are a lot of people who condemn him for what he did. Okay, do I agree with him slapping Chris Rock in public? No. Was it a dumb move for him to make? Yes, it was. Did it seem to evidence some degree of toxic masculinity perhaps on his part because someone said something about his woman and he had to go and basically deliver I guess I call it a beat down light because he slapped him with an open hand. You slap him with an open hand, it's going to sting. But as Malcolm said, the way to put somebody in a place is to bring their five digits together. Now, I know a whole bunch of people who with one slap, they just put you down and you stay down. So the slap itself, as far as the physical attack, wasn't that big of a thing. Chris Rock was still able to talk. He was able to make a joke about it. And he was able to go on ahead and do his show. Supposedly, his show started selling out right after that. So it didn't hurt Chris Rock financially. It probably hurt Will Smith to some degree because the Academy is implementing sanctions on him, and he's resigned from the Academy. Some people still think he should give back his Oscar. Okay, I don't know about all that. But the point to me is there's been a lot of pressure put on a lot of people, especially in the last couple of years. And it shouldn't surprise us that much when someone who has had a lot of pressure on them over the last several years, not the same kind of pressure that a family in the inner city has in terms of just trying to survive and having to deal with shootings outside their house every couple of weeks or so. But he had his own set of pressures on him, and he had his own set of eyes on him. And the fact of the matter is people are gonna snap out every once in a while. So he snapped out. He did something dumb. He'll probably pay a certain price for it. Okay, after that, let's move on. There are much bigger things that are going on. That whole thing distracted a lot of us from the war in Ukraine and the whole question about war crimes, collective punishment with all the summary executions that appeared to be happening in a number of the Ukrainian visits, villages after the Russian troops had retreated, questions of genocide. You had those things going on. And then there are the ongoing things that impact our community every single day. You had six people shot dead in Sacramento yesterday. You had three people who were shot at least in Baltimore City last night. So you have all of these things that are going on. You have continuing economic trauma that people are facing, slap or no slap. You've got an international community that still doesn't hear what African people in the diaspora are going through. And then you have Pan-African organizations, each of whom says, I'm working on this to free our people, but we're still too often doing what we do as though we exist in a vacuum, as though other organizations do not exist, as though we are in our silo and our way is the only way. And as long as that continues to be the case, we're going to have a very difficult time lifting ourselves up from this malaise that has been exacerbated over the last couple of years by COVID and by all the other things that are happening. So on the one hand, yeah, I kind of feel for a lot of the folks who are involved in that whole Will Smith, Chris Rock deal, but they're going to get over it. They're going to survive. There are a lot of folks who are not going to survive, and they're not going to survive things that you don't hear about often enough in the media. They'll make a big sensation about gun shootings in Sacramento and in Baltimore, and people will talk about it, and here's propaganda again. Oh, crime is out of control. Well, supposedly crime statistics are down. It's not that crime is up. It's that violent crime apparently is up, and particular violent crime using guns or weapons of mass destruction, automatic weapons that are able to spray an entire crowd. And this is something that people have been fighting against for decades. Brother Bill has been fighting to make sure that the Baltimore City Police destroy the drugs and guns that they take off of gangsters and drug dealers, and they won't do it. And then in the meantime, every time there's a mass shooting, people say, you got to get these guns that are killing large numbers of people, killing children, killing innocent bystanders. You got to find a way to control those weapons. They're not saying you can't have your old pistol, you can't have your rifle, that you can't protect your house. But these weapons that are designed just to spray an entire area and mow down a large number of people at one time, you got to get rid of those. And what do the politicians do? They fight against that. At the same time, they scream, crime is running out of control. It's not that crime is running out of control. It's that shootings using these high-capacity guns that are able to kill multiple people in a matter of seconds, those are going out of control right now. And you see it here. You see it in Chicago. You see it in Sacramento now. And we've got to, I guess, get over some of the propaganda that keeps on telling us, oh, it's all about crime, and it's all about black culture, and it's all about this and that. No. Target the thing that is causing all of these tragedies to happen. High-capacity, automatic weapons that are in the hands of people who got no business carrying them on the street. But we're not concentrating on that, because what is taking up all of our attention? The SLAPP, the war in Ukraine. And crime is out of control. So, yeah, there's a lot of flim-flams going on. Malcolm said we've been had, we've been misled, we've been sold out, we've been flim-flam.
So, yes, we did.
Yeah, so that's where the media is going to come in. And that's where getting the media and the activists on the ground like Brother Bill, the people who have some real wisdom to bring in like Mama Trudy, to the people who are feeding people like Brother Rico, the people with economic plans like Brother Michael, our other learned people here, Baba Umoja and Dr. McKenzie and Dr. Pender and Baba Dempsey and yourself and all the other people who we have been trying to bring together in this cooperative coalition. We've got to find a way to get all those people working together in a positive way so that we're all working toward that same goal and not ignoring each other anymore.
All right, sir. So as always, sir, I appreciate your wisdom, your knowledge, and your particular way of expressing yourself. And I appreciate you, sir, because you hit on a lot of great things and wonderful things. Dr. Leroy McKenzie, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Can you hear me?
Ooh. Yes, sir. How you doing this evening?
There you go. I'm good. Brother Cliff, as usual, is just, so on point. And he brought up a major thing, and you harp on this all the time, Brother David, about the media and how powerful it is. Brother Malcolm said it years ago, the media is the most powerful tool that we have, and we have to utilize I have this list of like what I call the 12 types of or 12 forms of capital. And that media is right up at the top there at it, because it controls the narrative. It controls the minds of the people from a, you know, in a larger perspective. It can make an issue. It can break an issue. And those who have that, was it 99.9%, they understand that. They understand that all we got to do is keep putting out there these negative issues, these negative connotations. I remember years ago, my best friend and I, she used to always tell me, well, you need to watch the news. I'm like, no, I don't. I said, I can tell you the first five stories that they're going to talk about on every news site. It's going to be somebody getting shot, somebody getting killed, somebody's house burned down. That's every single night. That's being put into us every single night. So we have to be cognizant of what we put into our minds. They can have the negative media out there, but if we're careful about what we take in, then we control our own narrative about how we see things. And that's the importance of, you know, of what, you know, what we do here at the National Black Unity News and what you have the vision for, Brother David. And I love you for it because you're adamant about putting that consistently, continually putting that message out there about those things that we don't ordinarily hear, that we don't see, that's not talked about. You give a contrast to the negativity that's out there. And we give a contrast to the negativity. You have to have something to combat it. You're not going to beat it because it's going to be out there. You're not going to stop it, but you have to say, here's an alternative to it. Here's something else that you can watch. Here's something else that you can talk about in addition to that. I mean, like Brother Cliff was saying, the only thing that has been talked about since last Sunday, and we're talking just over a week now, has been that slap. But nobody has talked about Samuel L. Jackson getting his first Oscar. This is a man that has the Guinness Book of World Records for the most amount of money made in Hollywood.
All right.
Nobody's talking about that he got his first Oscar last Sunday night. Nobody's talking about what's his name, Questlove, that received a Grammy for his documentary, and I got to find that documentary because I'm hearing about it, and I heard it was really good, but nobody's talking about that. There were numerous others that received Oscars last Sunday, but nobody's talking about that, and nobody's talking about the fact that the executive producer of it was Will Packer, but his whole team was black, and that's been done. Now there have been black directors of the Oscars, but never a whole a whole crew. This is the first time that's happened. Nobody's talking about that. Those are the things that we need to be focused on and talking about instead of Will Smith smacking Chris Rock. You know. Over a joke. I'm gonna say that again. Over a joke.
Right.
That's what they do at the Oscars. That's what those comedians do at the Oscars. The people in the audience get roasted. You know that's gonna happen to you, especially if you're sitting in the front row.
Yep.
It was Will Smith's night, and so they're gonna make it about them. And they had done jokes earlier that evening about. Regina Hall had done a joke that I thought was even worse than the one that Chris Rock said. He talked about their entanglement, their quote-unquote whatever, the entanglement, you know, was worse than that one. And even before that or during that, because I only saw the first monologue or whatever, but they joked, I don't know if y'all are familiar with the guy that does the farmer's commercial. We know a thing or two because we've done a thing or two. Yeah. They did a joke about him coming out of COVID, which was worse than that, talking about how bad he looked. I'm like, when are you going to get upset about a joke? And I think Jada looks she looks very pure. She looks beautiful with that short hair. Not every woman can do that, can pull that off. But I'm like, that was a joke. It happens. You move on. You roll on from it. You know, this is your biggest night ever. You've been waiting for this night your whole career, and now nobody will talk about that. Only thing I'm going to be talking about is you went up there and you smacked another black man on international TV. That's all they're saying. Not about you getting an Oscar, not about you being at the pinnacle of your career, and the movie that you got the Oscar for, the man that you portrayed, who was a great man in and of himself. All they're talking about is that you went up on stage and you smacked another man.
Wow, you know, man, brother, doctor, man, you really brought it home, man. You know, like I said, the power of media, propaganda, all of those great points, both everybody brought out this evening, is how smoke screen goes up. Like you said on the news, they'll show us getting out there, but they won't show the brother who got the high score in school. You know, they won't show not only in this school, but in the whole nation. Young black people, you know, they won't show none of that kind of stuff. But yet, we feed into it, and it makes matters worse because, like you said, they're going to do what they do. But unfortunately, we have to learn, we black melanated people, to learn to look away from that stuff and stop beating them. Now, you won't see other Jews talking about other Jews like that. You know, they won't go on the news and put each other down like that. Or Asians or anybody else. We're the only one. When we doing more narratives, they just put it in our hands and we run with it. You know, we take it in, and they use us all over the news. Every time they would mention us, they would put up another black person going up against them, you know. And so, you know, but, you know, we don't see that. But, you know, we get caught up in this kind of stuff. And you wonder why it seems like we don't like one another, because it has been put in our psyche and our mindset that we are our worst enemy. And so, yet, from other people's perspectives, as I've mentioned to you many times before, other cultures or race of people, other than Caucasian people, even they see it too. You know, that's why they work so hard on us. I think they put on our neck, because they know if we African American, melanated people ever come together, like Bill always been saying, come together in unity, support one another, love one another, spend with one another. Just and Brother Thomas, even if we just spend amongst ourselves, you know, we can bring this country to its knees. Because this whole economic system is built on our consumerism. A lot of, you know, we will buy it, black people will buy it, put it up there. And if we just start spending on you know how many industries will start falling? Like dominoes. And you know, and I often tell you about times way back when the Roman, the Syrian Empire, how they fell. They fell from within. They beat everything up around them. But with a nation like the United States, if black people did what we need to do, people wouldn't be coming from all over the world sitting up shop in the hood. You know, people would, they, you know, like I say, you know, that's why they did the stuff to Wall Streets and everything like that, because they see what happens when we come together and start working together. They already had their lesson, so they're going to do everything within their power to keep it that way, to keep it at this state of mind. But, you know, I thank God. Man, I really do, for people like each and every one of you who's on this podcast tonight, because you see the smoke screens. You study. Y'all study about this and about that. And not only did you study, you have experiences of the thing, like Bill been on for 40, 50 years. He's been out there protesting and helping people. And Brother Chris been out there forever, you know, trying to bring us together. We got Brother like Umoja on here, who has a powerful book with women. I think every woman in the world should read it, you know, and that was handed down to him from one of his ancestors. And so, you know, so many people got so many powerful solutions to our situations. But unfortunately, like I said, Bill just said, ain't nobody coming back to save us. Ain't nobody going to do it but us. And so since we are in media, we have all these different platforms that we got brother like Rico Crawley, is helping the hungry, the needy. We got Vernon out there, man, who's a true soldier, willing to give his time, expertise to those who need it. And we got Walter Dempsey Murphy on there, ex-military man, who takes his time, him and his wife Kathleen Murphy. They have so many different organizations with scholarship funding and all sorts of things going on there. We got Trudy on there. On here, how you doing, Trudy?
Hey.
How you doing? And
good.
And you know what? You know what is kind of strange tonight, but you're the only young lady on with us tonight.
I know. I'm starting to feel that way, but it's okay, you know, because men are my friend, and I'm not intimidated, and I like to learn from you guys. Are you ready for my spiel?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
After listening to all you wonderful men out here, here's the one woman on the call that's going to back it up and throw that football pass to you, because I know how to play football. So you guys made a whole lot of wonderful points, but this is what I want to say. When we look for the root of propaganda, propaganda is designed to distract you. It's to take your attention away from what we should be focusing on. Somebody said earlier, what can we say about Martin, Malcolm, Harriet Tubman, Marcus Garvey, I think it was you, David. They all focus. They focus on their agenda until death. They would not shut up banging their drums. I don't care if the whole city was on fire or the whole United States was burning down. They stuck to the cause. That is what also made me think, and I thought about this the last time that we talked. I forgot the movie, but One Voice, One Sound. That is something that we have with One Voice. This is a modern-day genocide. It is designed to keep us sandbagged and saddled with the issue that we don't know how to come together. Centralizing crime is a principle that I learned 30 years ago in undergraduate. That is on purpose. They want to keep you in the cesspool of destruction. When you talk about like that movie Training Day, and they talk about, oh, the guns can't get off the street. They just extradited some president to the United States for intentionally selling cocaine in the United States. If you think about Oliver North and Iran-Contra, they were flying marijuana into the Air Force bases. The guns on the street, they take them and put them right back on the street. How do you think these kids are getting, it's because, why do you think the NRA is fighting every time something happens, their hair is on fire, that's just like that sniper that killed all those people in Las Vegas about 2 years ago. He was up in a hotel and killed that whole concert. Come on, people. I mean, let's open our eyes. Propaganda, they're not interested in community because propaganda makes money. Propaganda, it's about the money. Community, they don't care if you're giving away free hot dogs, if you're feeding all the people in your whole state. They don't want to know anything about that. The thing that I thought was a defining moment for the Oscars, Will Smith and Chris Rock, somebody else, if to me, I'm not going to say it's a setup, but you know, when rappers, they have a beef, they act like they go back and forth to just cause attention. If Will Smith was defending his wife, he would not have slapped the little girl. he would have went up there and shoved him down or punched him in the stomach. He knew the ramifications. He knew what was going to happen. If you act out of character, that's what they wait for us to do, and he fell for it, and he gets what he gets. We should stop talking about this and start talking about what's going to bring us together, because we keep using the excuse that we can't come together. We can. We did. When we was on the plantation, we did. We sung in code. We had the Underground Railroad. We are some of the smartest creatures on the planet. Everyone try to imitate us because they don't want to be us, but they want to take everything that we got. We need to stop looking to others and look to ourselves. We are very talented, smart, educated, beautiful people. And there is no excuse. There's nothing. But we've gotten comfortable with being second rate. And we should be uncomfortable with being second rate. This world started with brown people. Brown people is the culture. So how we got on the back of the bus, he says, for the night, gentlemen, thank you.
Well, gentlemen, Trudy, let me just say this, Miss, you know, you gave it up, and I appreciate you for that, you know, and as always, you on the ball with it. But, you know, again, like I say, man, I sit in a wonderful place. See, I always say I'm always a student. See, I learn things, you know. I don't claim to know it all, but I try to know things. But, you know, but like you say, we have to focus. I told you, I was up since 2:30 this morning. You know what I was doing? You know, putting the paper together, you know, doing checks and balances and stuff like that, because I was focused. That's why I was able to stay up, because I was motivated. Because, you know, every page I go through, that's what happens. I get to see you, each and every one of you. I get to see your blood, sweat, and tears, what you're writing about. You know, you're sharing your spirits, your hearts, you know. And to be in such a place that I'm in, to be around so many powerful, positive people, you know, man, it just, you know, encouraged me so much greatly. But it also confirms the fact that what you all have said this evening, yes, we all of that. Like Trudy was saying, yes, we are. Like Bill was saying, Bill was speaking about Malcolm X and everybody else. Like I said, them brothers and sisters back in them days, they was focused, even to the point of life and death. And that's what we need to be. See, we can learn from our ancestors, the shoulders that we stand upon today. You know, because each one of us have our chosen fields that we're in. But, you know, we even the Bible speaks about this. When the God gives you a gift or talent, and if you nurture those gifts and talents, that means focus on them, nurture them, grow them. And if you do it, it'll make a way for you. Not only a way for you, but it'll make it for you and yours. And so therefore, you know, for each and every one of us, you know, I hope and pray that you stay on the road. You know, because, like I said, without you, there wouldn't be no 1,000 great minds. Brother Tom, there wouldn't be no Will out there, even though there was Wills before, but that was yesterday. Today, we still need this Will, Brother Cliff, and all the books in the world. You know, like I said, so much wisdom and knowledge in those books that Brother Dr. McKenzie speaks about, Dr. Pender, and everybody else on there, man. And so, you know, like I said, so much wisdom and knowledge. For me, there is no excuses. We have none whatsoever. And as I told y'all before, I told them Asian people called me up one day. They said, they confessed. They said, y'all more together than any race of people on here. You know, you say, y'all got it together. Y'all just don't know it. And that's another tool of propaganda. Nope. Don't hip a lane to the game, because he may come back and fight you. You know, that's why they don't want you to know your true power. Yes, sir. Jump right on in.
Just real quick, but you said something really significant right there. They told you, that we have it more together than anybody else. But what did we say earlier? That we're the only race that does not work, that does not work together, which shows you that they don't necessarily work together either, but they keep it within themselves. Mm-hmm. They don't let others know what they're doing. That's powerful. That we, you know, we have in our mindset because we've been told and told and told and told that we can't work together, that we don't do this, we don't do that. And we have to understand we do have it together, and we need to focus on that we do have it together, because others have told us that we have it together and say, you know what? No, we can work together. We can get this done. We can do this. We can do that, because other people are watching us, and we got to understand that. Everybody's watching us. We set trends. We set, you know, we set the tone for so many things that go on in this cult, in this country and beyond. When if we really look at it, we really do. And Miss Trudy, that movie was Drumline, one band, one sound.
Right, and that's one of my favorite movies. But you know, I wanted to stay, right on. And we need to stop wearing our feelings on our sleeves and getting mad and want to kill somebody because they stepped on your shoe. Or you want to slap an old lady because she got in front of you in line. I mean, let's stop being ridiculous. It's a shame.
Well, you
and
know.
Our mamas ain't teachers that they would have slapped you and beat you all the way down the street and everybody else behind them. We know better.
Hey, Brother Burning, you want to come on in?
Yes. I enjoyed all the conversations. Good afternoon, everyone. Just listening, I was looking up sociology, you know, and they kind of like studied us. You know, because I always wondered when I went to school, you know, wondered what sociology was. And then, you know, when I went to community college, I really realized what it was, you know, the study of people, you know, and classes and a bunch of stuff. And all the time, you know, they have been collecting data. They're still collecting data. But it's a lot of things that they already have in place. We just need to take advantage of it. You know, why reinvent the wheel, you know, just use what they've been using on us and just use it for our benefit. You know, do study on them, you know. And another thing that I noticed about, I would say another piece on the chest is we have to have a way of defending ourselves. You know, did some research on the Black Wall Street. They couldn't defend themselves. Another town came in, you know, so busy doing a lot of other things, they couldn't defend it. Look at Ukraine. Defend, you know, it's all about defending yourself. You know, once you get something, you have to figure out a way to protect it, a way to defend it. We're looking at defending our community, defending our women, you know, protecting our women, protecting our children. So we got to come up with, you know, with a way of defending when we build, also include that in the aspect of it.
Man, you said a whole bunch right there, bro. I'll tell you something. Now, this I know, man, that people get mad with me when I do this, even if I bring this up oftentimes. You know, I'm gonna just use the Jews for instance. You know, they had the Holy Cross. You know, they had some of them Germans who did some atrocities to their people. And even till this day, most of them died off. You know, they're still looking for some of them people. You know, and to bring them to justice. But they don't tell you. But you don't see on the surface underground. But you know, lately, I think only in this country though. And I'm somewhat a little uneasy with this, but what kind of men would allow people to come into their village or to their communities, shoot their children down, bring in drugs, and do a lot of things, you know, without any repercussion. And when Vernon says defend yourself, you know, there are some things that you know, even though you can't imagine people with guns for guns and knives with knives, not in this country, but there are deterrents. Because like I say, we do have certain rights to protect our homes and our communities as well. But again, it takes a little organization, but it takes a few serious people too, because I do know one thing. That if, someone came into our community and did some atrocity to some of us, and the justice system slapped them on the wrist, then, you know, they got that justice, but there's another type of justice that some people would take up. We do it in the hood all the time. You know, you come in my community, you take one of ours, they go back and take one of yours, you know, next thing you know, you'll be going back and forth forever. But one thing for sure, they are conscious of it. And when you step over them lines, and you know there's a chance that you may, how the young people say, you may get God as well. And but when people know that the men will take a stand for their children, their family, their community, people would have second thoughts about doing certain things. But again, like I say, we only, brother, your Moses on here tonight, and he has been a God. You know, we are only a few generations away from slavery. And I don't care how people look at us, how they put us down through their mass media and everything else, but we have made leaps and bounds with the resources that we have. Like Trudy said, we were beating drums and communicating and doing everything, even in slavery, even on the ships when it was coming over. But at the same time, we use our resources, even to this day. We let some things slip away from us, but, you know, it's still with us. But again, those of us, you know, like I say, you know, this massive amount of people out there, but there's a lot of conscious people out here. And Bill talks about it all the time, and Brother Cliff talking about it all the time. So we have to start learning to connect these dots, you know. There is strength in numbers. But, you know, that's what we have to know what our left hand and our right hand is doing, because, like I said, there's people all across this country, all throughout the diaspora, wants change. And change, like I say, starts with that man in the mirror, each and every one of you. And by my perspective, you have made a decision. You decided to stand up in spite of what goes on around, in spite of the people don't join you or not. Just like myself, I go whip over the couch, you know, because this is something on my conscience, on my mind, it's on my heart, and I have to answer to God. So, you know, I ain't going to sit there, you know, just the whole world sit there, and I'm going to still have to stand up for what I believe in. And as long as I'm not intruding on you, taking advantage of you or anything like that, then, you know, I can sleep good at night, because I love my family. I love my grandchildren. I even love my community. I love y'all, each and every one of you. But at the same time, if I don't take a stand, then who do I expect to stand with me if I don't stand up myself? And so, by us being examples of brothers and sisters who took a stand, there's people watching. And you know, and like some of the young people would tell you, they like to see if you're going to keep it real. You know, because a lot of us, man, you know, we got beaten up, have given in, you know, the pressures of life have come down on so many people. And a lot of people, and because the way media works, psychologically say, you know, there's no use. What the hell me? I'm doing all this for. You know, ain't nothing going to change. Yes, something did change. You just changed. But if you kept your mind focused, like Bill was saying earlier, like the Marcus Garvey, the Martin Luther Kings, and everybody, they stayed laser focused, and they were on their mission. And Trudy, you want to say something?
I just wanted to say, somebody else said that it may have been you, but other communities, races, or whatever you want to, they can hate each other, and they still will put their own in front, whether they hate your guts or not, us, when we hate each other, our own blood, the same DNA, we don't talk to each other forever. It's a travesty. But white folks, they can hate each other and they'll still help you buy a house and get you a job and open the door for you and take care of you. We need to learn. We need to study their psychology. We need to figure out what we're missing because we know how to do that. Each one teach one. And you know what we say about it? Oh, they just want some. Oh, they just begging. Oh, am I my brother's keeper? Yes.
Well, Greedy, again, you hit it on the head because you know, I told you I quit school at an early age and I went to work. And I ended up working with this guy who was a Jewish caterer. And, you know, he kind of took a liking to me. So every once in a while, he would share a pearl of wisdom with me. And he told me, you know, about how they operate. Like, Trudy just said it, she hit the nail right on the head, but he said, I hear him on the phone, he'd be cussing each other out and stuff. They'd be called all kinds of names. But he said one thing for sure, see, they've been taught for the good of the people. We put all of that personal stuff aside to lift one another up. I'm not going to cross because I can't stand this man. He got an auto mechanic. I ain't going to cross him and go to somebody else to get my car fixed. I'm going to go to him. I may cuss him out and everything else, but I'm going to keep because his children may end up with my children. His children may give my children a deal. You know, they can say they'll work it out. But, you know, it's for the good of the people, for the good of the village. And we are that village, and so we have to do what we want to do. But, you know, time is running short on us, and so those who didn't have the opportunity to speak.
Like, can I say something, David?
Yes, you can.
Look, David, I've been listening to everybody. I want you to know this. What's wrong with our people? I mean, Thomas talked last week, and he talked about his great minds, and I'm talking about our great minds. We got a lot of them. But we got to get together like everybody keeps saying. But what's one thing is wrong with our people? There's a lot of things wrong with our people. But our people are afraid to die. And they don't know how to live. We got our people together and through slavery and through a lot of things. They were not afraid to die. They did what was necessary to advance by not being afraid to die. They did what was necessary to live. Thomas say, have a great mind. But when you have a great mind, you got to take a chance to have a greater action to live. Our people are afraid to take that action to live. Are we gone?
No, I hear you loud and clear.
Our people are afraid to take that action and live. And we don't have to be like anybody, or I listen to the cliches people were saying. We got to be who and what we are.
You are unmuted.
We got to take ourselves to where we want to go. We got to chart a destiny for ourselves. It's nice to hear them things that people say. It sounds good. People are not us. We got to chart our own course, live our own lives, look at the past, take the good, the bad, and the evil, and take us where we want to go because we are a brand new people and live our lives, David. We got to start from here and make our own history. That's all I got to say.
Sir, I appreciate that. And Brother Cliff, you got your hand up?
Yes, I just wanted to point out the significance of this particular day, April 4th, 54 years ago today, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King was gunned down on the balcony of, what was it, the Lorraine Motel? I can't even remember the name of the motel.
Lorraine Motel.
Yes, and 1 year to the day. Before that, April 4th, 1967, he gave what may have been the most relevant speech in his entire career. A lot of people did not hear about this speech because the propaganda, again, had us all enthralled with I Have a Dream. And, of course, the I Have a Dream speech has been adulterated by many on the right wing in an effort to essentially stifle any form of Black progress ever since then. But the key thing about the speech he gave in 1967, August 4th, 1967, and I think he actually gave it twice. He gave it once at a church and at another time at another public gathering. But the essential title of the speech was Beyond Vietnam. And many people criticized Dr. King because they thought that he should be concentrating only on civil rights and only on desegregating lunch counters. And here was Dr. King speaking out against war. He was speaking out against man's inhumanity to man. He spoke out against the evils of capitalism, war, and racism. And he saw them as essentially three heads of one beast. And that essentially when you brought all of those things together, you essentially were creating a fascist state. He also said that any nation that spends more on military might than they do on social uplift is approaching spiritual death. I mean, this man was starting to stretch out, and he was starting to tell people that a lot of the things that we're dealing with, whether it's economics or politics or violence in the streets or war, they're all interconnected. And that's one of the things that's been on my mind for the last, say, 10 years or so. And that's a large part of the basis behind the whole cooperative coalition idea, is that each of us has a particular area that we tend to concentrate on, but we have to realize that they are all connected. We each think that we are wrestling a snake. We're not wrestling a snake. Each of us is wrestling one arm of a giant octopus. It's one part of the same beast that is hammering our people in the areas of culture, education, politics, economics, media, spirituality, science, mass incarceration, police brutality, toxic culture. It's hammering us in all of these areas at the same time. And Dr. King started to see that all of these things that were impacting on Black people were interconnected. And because he saw that, and because you could see him starting to find more and more common ground with others, such as Minister Malcolm and a number of other activists that went from the civil rights to the human rights to the Pan-African activists, that's why they had to get rid of him. And that situation continues to this day. And ultimately, we're going to have to come to the realization that, as Baba Umoja said, yeah, we can talk about what we have, but ultimately it will come down to what we do. The things that we do to guarantee that we will be able to live as a free, unified people. And as Dr. McKenzie said, You had economic successes like Black Wall Street. They couldn't defend themselves against a military assault. Political victories like Wilmington, North Carolina in 1898, they couldn't defend themselves against a military assault. The Panthers, with free breakfast and political education and community self-defense, couldn't defend themselves against a coordinated legal assault where all of their leaders were assaulted, captured, and tried at the same time. That tells me, I don't know if it tells everyone else this, but it tells me that the attack is multifaceted and as a result, and coordinated, and as a result, so must our response be. And just thinking of Dr. King and how he was stretching out and how he was showing people that he was thinking about more than just one. He wasn't a one-trick pony. Everyone else wanted him to be. And when he showed people that he would not be, then he had to be eliminated. And that's what makes you dangerous. And we've got to get to the point where, as a community, Each of us can have our specialty, but as a community, as far as our response is concerned, it has to be multifaceted. We cannot be one-trick ponies. We cannot concentrate on one thing and get beat to death in the other thing. We have to hit back in all directions at once. And we hope to make our next step in that direction on Wednesday, April 13th, when we have our next Cooperative Coalition Zoom call. I will let you know when the official announcement comes out.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I really do. Bill, did you
have
your hand up?
Well, yeah, Dan. I just want to say this. Again, I just want to thank everybody for being on. I'm going to sign off. But I just want to say I agree with Cliff in terms of this. And I say the same thing all the time is that, you know, none of us have the solution. All of us have a piece of the solution, right? So, you know, everybody has something to bring to the table. And we need to bring it to the table in terms of not being thinking that my piece is bigger than the other piece and my piece is more important than the other piece, because no matter how big or how small your piece is, it's a puzzle. And if the whole puzzle is done, it's just a small piece missing, the puzzle's still not done. So, you know, I mean, we have to recognize that everybody has something to bring. And I also say this here, Dave, you know, personally, I mean, I know that we have to keep on trying to do what we're doing. But I think the best thing that can happen to us as a people is this system totally collapse, right? Because we need to be able to be on from the ground floor to rebuild this system and to have some equal footing from the very beginning. Because as long as we're just propping this system up, it's just like politicians. We talk about politics all the time. Changing faces and changing seats ain't helping us. You know what I'm saying? When the next election comes, somebody may lose and we may have a new person. But if we don't change the system, we ain't doing ourselves no good just changing faces. So I agree with Cliff in terms of that, you know, everybody has something to do, and we have to just find out how can everybody bring in what they have, how can we come up under some kind of umbrella, how can we come together and say, I got an apple, I got an orange, I got a banana, or whatever, and let's put everything together, and let's figure out how we can work together so all of us can do better.
Right. Okay, anybody else who has not had a chance to speak, this is the time to do so before we sign off. Mr. Murphy, they haven't heard from you.
Oh, David, now that you called, don't be putting me on the spot. I guess I'll have to talk, won't I? But it's a pleasure talking to you both, man, and it's a wonderful getting you guys together this afternoon. I really mean it. You've enlightened me. My emotions are all over the place. And I got to tell you, man, you know, when you think about all that's going on in this world with, you know, with the Will Smiths and the war and all the other things, which is the topic of the night, of course they are. It's what they are. A distress. I mean, you know, it is what it is, okay? If they're horror stories in certain ways, that just, you know, they are things that we would not like to have happened. However, it happens. And so now what are we going to do about it? That's the question. But then there's this bigger thing that's been going around this whole evening about, you know, Cliff and the wheel and all of the things, and I really appreciate that. It's a wonderful thing that you brought that back to our remembrance, because it is a wonderful concept, because that's exactly what we need. That everybody, like Bill was saying, to bring a little piece, man, you know. You know, this is a pie, you know, it needs a pan, it needs some fruit or whatever going to be inside, it needs a crust, it needs some heat. You need to put the oven, all those things to make this pie. And so don't get it wrong. You like your spice up pie, baby, whatever that may be. But at the end of the day, if you don't bring that salt and the sugar, you ain't going to have a good taste of pie. It's just that way. And so, but the thing I'm more concerned with is that, you know, this idea about the war and all these other things about distractions, ladies and gentlemen, it is true. Absolutely, positively true. That there are some things on this planet and there are people who are controlling things, and they're doing them for not just days after days or weeks after weeks. They're doing these things in decades. And it's affecting you in decades. When they change a law, like an assault weapon, I remember the day that they did it, because I'm a military soldier. I can bring that in M16 like nobody can. Believe me, I really can. And put it back together. And when you talk about automatic versus semi-automatic, I guess there's something even more simple you can do to make it automatic. The point is this, though.
assault weapons be in a civilian's hands. And I'm going to leave that to the audience. I have my purposes, and I don't agree with it, but I'll tell you that that was something that really bothered me then. And it's gotten to the point now where you're right. When you go out in prayer group, it's not the same as walking up there having hand-to-hand combat with somebody, even with a handgun, because you can miss. They're not that accurate. Most pistols are just not that accurate under 50 meters. But one of the things I want to really share with you before I get off this call is about control. The media, fashion, any type of almost anything that you deal with. Let's talk about the 3500. Let's talk about the people with the real money who really control all these corporations. If you think you're buying something all of a sudden it's got funneled all the way to the top, believe me, you're dreaming. How is it that a CEO of a company can make a million times than the hardest working person that employs them? So don't get it wrong. All this money is big, and they have a system. And you're right. It's not the United States alone. It's not just England or Europe. It's a money system. It's a capitalistic system, and they're in control. And those 3,500 really are the movers and the shakers. Ain't nobody on this call one of those members. Not one. Guaranteed. And so what I'm trying to share with you, ladies and gentlemen, is this. We have to do what was talking about earlier today, is to be the best person you could possibly be. When you do that, that is success. When you do that, people around you will have a different atmosphere. When you do that, the world's a better place. Thank you, David.
All right. Well, I'm going to close it out with that because everybody brought some valuable information. And those of you who are on Blog Talk Radio, those of you who are on Facebook Live, and those of you who are on the panel this evening, is this, that I pretty much agree with everything everybody said this evening. And it does take the village. But we have personal responsibility. And so, you know, to yourself be true. My father told me something a long time ago, but it has nothing to do with this, but it's related. You know, and I just want you to think about this. You know, I was telling him about a young lady at the time. And he said one simple thing. He said, if another man can take your woman, she's not yours. And so, you know, I know that don't make sense to you right now, but if you think about it, if another man say he can take your freedom, your way of being, your lifestyle, or anything else, then it's not yours if you allow him to take that away from you. What is yours is yours. You got to stand up for what is yours. I don't care. Like I said, you can lock a man up, do everything up, but you can't lock their mind up. You can't stop them from thinking or being. And so, you know, we have so much power within our own selves. And to yourself be true. Like I said, you have to look at the man in the mirror. How can I look at my brother and sister? You should be doing this and you should be doing that. And you're not doing it. And so, you know, and like you say, people are watching. People are listening. There's a lot of folks listening to us right now. You know. But they need to know. That you know, you know, out of love, you know, you got fear, you got all these other things, all these other type of emotions and processes of life, but the bottom line is this. Just be you, do you, you know, appreciate you because there's nothing else in this world like you. You do make a difference, and you can make a difference if you choose to do that. And that will Brother Cliff got there, yeah, I see myself on there. Because I knew it does, you know, ain't no man no other. I can't do all this by myself. I am lost, man. My plans are worldwide, really. But I need the Cliffs. I need Dr. McKenzie. I need Trudy. I need Michael. I need Bill Good. I mean, I need all of y'all to make my thing work. And so, it's like I said, it takes a village. But that being said, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it from some of the best of the best. And I'm going to tell you, I'll put these folks up against anybody, you know, because like I say, they just don't talk about. They are being about. They live. They just, you know, these are just, you know, what philosophers, man, they are true workers. And so with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, bid you all a good night. We will be on tomorrow night at 7:30. That's what the National Black Unity News will be hosting our business podcast with a lot of great information to take place. Josh McKenzie, I think you are tomorrow night, aren't you? Dr. McKenzie.
David, I believe Mr. Haney's going to be on tomorrow.
Mr. Haney?
Am I right, Doc?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think it's. I'm next week.
Oh, there you go. That's about right.
Next week.
David, you know, David is so anxious to get you on. That's all.
I'm anxious to get everybody on there because, like I said, I'm a student and I learn so much when y'all share, you know. And but again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna see you tomorrow night because I'm about to shut down and I'm gonna sleep good tonight. So why?
You deserve it. You deserve it. Go get some rest.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna tell you why, because you know, I put in some work today. You know, I've been up since 2:30, and guess what? Those guys, y'all mentioned Martin Luther King. I feel like, yeah, I stand on great shoulders. They can do it, so can I. You know, I look at my grandparents. You know, the stuff they had to go through is nothing to what I go through today. You know, man. So you know, the little things that I do, they significant though. So are each and every one of us. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, good night. See you tomorrow night. Take care.
Good night, all.
Good night. Good night.
Goodbye.
Until next week, good night, everybody. Hope you enjoyed this edition of the National Black Union News Podcast.
Close out with some music.
Land, mine, and father.
Okay, good night. See y'all next week. All right.